At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday, August 27th edition of the Jason and John Show. We've got all hands on deck. I am joined by my partner, John Martin. Across the glass is Brad Carson.
Hello.
Yes, good to have you, sir.
Good to have you, too. How are you?
Doing well. Everybody's doing well. You know how we like to get to we don't mess around with pleasantries too long, Brad, before we like to get to it. Yeah, the weather's nice. Everything feels good. I think we'll hear John's voice and where it is here in just a second. I think that's another thing that we're trying to hold on tight to. But we are all here and ready to work, and we are closer and closer to football. Boise State, South Florida tomorrow. Are you ready? It's tomorrow afternoon, weirdly.
Yeah, 4:30 game. Yeah, we're battling.
There it is.
We're battling. But, you know, that's what we do, man. We
battle. Man, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need the applause. Come on, fellas. I don't want to leave you hanging and take off. I probably do need a day, but I'll get that over the weekend.
It is a holiday weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, we got baseball. We got Boise State football. That's tomorrow, though. I'm not really.
It's tomorrow. It's a countdown.
I ain't finna sit up here and act like I'm looking forward to that. It's just a game, really.
You're not gonna be as locked in as me, then. That's what I can tell.
Game of the year is on Saturday. It's just that.
Well, you
simple.
Just wait up for that. I told you I was already locked into Ireland. I watched all that game.
Yeah, the Farmageddon. They were told not to call it that, though. I guess.
Aer Lingus Classic.
Yeah, Cunnilingus Classic. anyway, thank you for that pity
somebody's
laugh.
My thing is, I didn't realize if you have a name like Farmageddon, use the damn thing.
That's. I mean, I think it's pretty catchy.
It's
but,
fun. But, it's called fun. It's good.
Yeah. We do have, you know, football on Thursday. We don't have NFL yet, but we have college football on Thursday.
That's right.
Why is it at 4:30?
I thought you'd have an answer for me. I mean, you know.
Is that also in, you know, is that like the in Saudi Arabia or something?
No, I have no idea why that one is at the time it is, but I'm appreciative.
Yeah.
That we're just a little over, 24 hours out.
Right. We got that coming tomorrow, and then, you know, we got week one. So it'll get officially, I guess, kicked off tomorrow at 4:30, Boise State in South Florida. And, yeah, look, it'll be if South Florida wins that game, I mean, that's the upshot, right? If South Florida wins that game, then it's going to put Memphis on notice because you play them.
Both sides, yeah. Some interest in terms of from the Memphis perspective.
Right, yes. I mean, you kind of are rooting for South Florida to win.
Not a kind of, too.
Yeah.
You're 100% rooting
Knock
on South
them
Florida.
Off.
Make
then,
your conference look better. And if it comes down to a Mountain West or an AAC and you've knocked off South Florida,
exactly
which
right.
has knocked off Boise State, how does that make you look?
Exactly.
Looks pretty good in the running.
Yeah, you
kind of
control your destiny in a way because you play South Florida.
So I think it's not critical, but one of intrigue to start the year, especially as it relates to AAC.
And they're big dogs. South Florida's a big dog in this game.
but Brown, right?
Yeah.
If he's healthy, Byron Brown,
yeah.
You know, maybe this could be a takeoff year. And you're replacing Genty, your quarterback's back, you expect Boise State to roll, but we'll see. We'll get a little taste of what South Florida's got.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get into all that today. Oh, I don't know if we'll I think
no need for the breakdown of that one today.
We're not going to get into this today. But it is there. And we might get into it tomorrow.
I think we will.
We do have a lot to get to on the show today. Dan Wolkin is going to join us at 11:25 from Yahoo Sports. You spoke him into existence yesterday. You congratulated him on the new move.
That's right.
I said, we got to get him on the show. And you also, levied some accusations that I only have him on when it's just me. So I wanted to make sure that we got him on while you were here.
I think there is we probably had him on with me, but I do think a couple of times.
I think maybe once. Have had him. But I don't, he was on with GP Weekly for, that's why he was kind of off limits.
I'm excited to ask him about his new position, but also about college football.
Yeah, that's exactly what we'll do.
All right.
We'll ask about Peyton Manning's nephew, Eli Manning's nephew.
Who?
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Upstart.
I can shoot him back just as fast.
I like it. I'm here for it. I do think I'm getting better, by the way. I think, by tomorrow.
I don't know. I heard you with Jeff. It's deeper.
Yeah.
Which is
strange.
Usually a bad sign.
Right.
Because we're going to go off.
There's no, if I cough, there's no phlegm that comes out.
Okay.
I'm
going to continue to pray.
I think it's the weather change. The very drastic weather change. Okay.
Jake's got the same thing.
Well, seasonal.
I was in the desert, and then I come back to Memphis, and it's like 70 now.
It's crazy. The weather's nuts. It's going to be 72 high tomorrow. With rain.
Vegas weather, by the way, is the worst. It's just the worst.
It's hot as hell.
I could never live there, Arizona. That dry, I can't do it.
Don't you take the dry over the thick and humid is here?
Because your lips crack.
They don't have that pollen issue, though. Elevation. That's the one thing. They don't have that crap flying around.
I mean, there's pros and cons to it, but
interesting.
It also gets to be like 110 out there.
Yes, I'm aware.
Yeah. I mean,
you feel it. Folks are lying and say they don't, but the humidity difference is
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it only has to get to about 95 here, and it feels like that.
But see, sweat through your clothes.
I prefer the humidity.
I like the misters, though, out in Vegas.
I've heard your sauna commercials. So
I love the sauna
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like to get in there and sweat up, we hear.
That's right. It's not that's not the sauna out there. That's just dry. There's no moisture in there, And the elevation, it's just you can't sleep. You just don't get good sleep, man. Okay. And plus you're just you're staying up late and you're drinking and partying. So I think my immune system is just kind of bucking back at me right now.
You gotta realize you're getting older, John.
That too. There's no doubt about that. But Dan Wolkin is gonna join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about college football, his new gig, and more. And then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV know I'm here today?
I believe he does.
Because it's time. It's time for the reckoning.
I don't know if he knows it's time for the reckoning. You might want to warn him.
I'm joking. But I'm ready for him when he's ready for me. We're ready to do the expose.
They'll let you know.
Yeah. I guess they'll just keep stiff-arming
me. You're speaking of Tennessee Collegiate Academy?
Continue to follow them on Instagram and on Travis King's Instagram.
I guess I'll just have find a different source, I guess I'll just have to listen to the podcast. That is out there, right? We did upload that.
Okay. It's up.
But Hurd will join us like he does always at 1:25. So that is the show today. Looking forward
always good
to it. And I know it's football season. We're getting ready for football. We're previewing Boise State.
Huge game tomorrow that you don't want to be a part of. I don't like the look. Tomorrow I need you to take it a little more seriously.
Maybe tomorrow I'll take
we're
it more seriously.
We're going to dive in. Maybe Byron tomorrow. Brown. You're with me. I'm just messing around. Of course, we weren't breaking that down today.
But one thing that it always is around here is basketball season.
Mm.
It's the orange ball that's round.
You're talking my language.
Now, there are different brands of it. There's the Wilson, there's the Nike ball. I don't know where you come down in terms of your preference on the ball. I'm more of I like the Nike.
Just pass it to my kid.
Just pass
that's
it
where
to
I
CJ.
Come down on it.
But isn't CJ really a facilitator? At this point in his career?
And he probably needs to be because of the size, but unfortunately not.
Oh, okay.
Like many a Memphis guard, we are shoot first, even at a smaller size.
Well, I'm sad to hear that because
headed down the wrong road.
There was a time when he was definitely, he enjoyed passing, and that's obviously changed.
Right.
Because his Instagram name now has prime time in it.
Mm-hmm. He's back.
But, I think, this is where we sit him down and we say, hey, you can be a prime time passer. You could be prime time doing a lot of things.
Yeah, we've had those talks. It's sixth grade, bro.
Yeah, so, this is where habits are made.
And usually we like to focus on higher levels around here.
That's right.
We'll see if he's worthy of the spotlight.
Fair enough.
Down the road.
Well, the highest level is not Eurobasket, which is actually happening right now. You up on that?
No.
Well, good news, I am. Turkey up 8 over Latvia.
This guy is plugged in.
Sengun doing work there for Turkey. think Germany got past Montenegro earlier today.
Okay. I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Got Slovenia a little bit later. Luka.
Of course. New Luka. New body Luka.
That's right. Tomorrow you have Israel versus Iceland.
Can't wait.
You have Serbia, Estonia, 1 o'clock. Serbia, a 31-point favorite over Estonia.
No one of this guy doesn't give a damn about South Florida Boise State. He's locked into Serbia and Iceland.
I told you last night, like,
what am I talking about?
It is relevant. Like, I miss basketball so much. A, I watch WNBA every night. And B, after these WNBA games on the West Coast get done, like last night it was Sparks and Mercury, right?
Yes.
Which, I encourage you, you should watch the Mercury.
Okay.
They're coached by a former Portland Trailblazers assistant, Nate Tibbetts. He used to be, like, one of the hot young coaches that was always mentioned as the, you know. And Alyssa Thomas is like Jokic out there, bro. I'm dead ass. She had a triple-double last night. It's like the seventh of the season for her. She's like Jokic, and she's unbelievable. Anyway, after that goes off, it's like these playoff playbacks. And they're just kind of they do it every night around 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a late-night find, you know. It's like a random playoff game. It could be from the COVID year. It could be from, you know, 2022. Like, it's just a random playoff game. And it just scratched the itch. You know, you kind of forget about, oh, I remember this. You know, it's just kind of fun. You know, again, if you're up late like I am and you're missing basketball, that's a very small group of people. But it is me. But the point is, NBA and basketball season is never over around here. And up at ESPN.com, there's a summer forecast. Don't forget about the Grizzlies. Isn't that what Draymond Green tells us to do? Don't forget about the Grizzlies. Isn't that the Kia commercial he has? I think that's it.
Yeah, he adds it on because I think she's more worried about the Wolves.
Don't forget about the Grizzlies.
It was nice. Yeah. It was nice of him. We're talking about that like 3 years later.
Well, it comes on every commercial.
No, it does. And during the playoffs, they show it again. And he's got makeup on, which bothers me.
The inventory for the damn NBA playoffs is just – there's like three commercials. You know, it used to be the Whopper. Maybe that was NFL. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. Well, I'm here to tell you, don't forget about them Grizzlies. And up at ESPN.com, they've done a summer forecast of both the East and the West. And there's no you know, need to hide it. I mean, it's a weird year for the Grizz. Like, what are they going to be? Is Ja going to play 70 games, 65 games? You know, how healthy is Jaren going to be? How healthy is Edie going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Cedric Howard, what, you know? How is all this going to fit together? ESPN doesn't think it will, at least that well. They've got the Grizzlies finishing 10th in the West, behind Golden State, behind the Mavericks, behind San Antonio, and only three games up of 11, which would be the Portland Trailblazers. So 42-40 is their projection of the Grizzlies next year, which, you know, it is above 500, but it's you're clinging to a play-in. Basically, they don't even write that much about the Grizzlies in this blurb. They just say the Grizzlies, meanwhile, traded one of their core players this summer, Desmond Bane, for a draft pick package, a move that could signify the franchise is readying for a step back, which is, I don't know if that's like informed reporting, if that's, hey, we're just going to like evaluate this. This is what it looks like. It's what it feels like. Because the franchise is kind of telling you something else, right? The franchise is telling you we're just retooling. We're trying to, you know. But you also do hear those whispers, like if this doesn't go well or if Ja misses time or whatever, they could press that button. So I think that kind of sets up the weirdness and the awkwardness of the season. It's like they're kind of half in, half out.
You used the word reckoning earlier when it came to Coach Hurd. I think there's a reckoning coming when it comes to folks, and we've talked about this before, and where your expectation level has been for the Grizzlies and where it should be now. We've discussed the 40.5 win total. I think it's around there in terms of what Vegas has got, season win total for the Grizzlies. They've got you at 42 games, so over, but still in the same 10th place spot that most of the odds have you in. Brad and I, when you were out, discussed it. We feel good about being above five teams. It's the five that are below them.
Right.
Portland, Sacramento, Phoenix, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. That's it, though. I mean, you can try to make a case that you're better than Dallas. You can try to make a case that you're better than Golden State. But the fact is, you don't have Desmond Bane anymore. And however you're phrasing it from the front office, look, they still got to sell tickets, and they got Ja Morant. You've taken a step back. Now, you've done that, and in doing so, you've acquired a big-time asset in that Phoenix pick. I mean, just about every time Harrington comes on now with Jeff and we start talking about the future for the Grizzlies, that pick comes up and just how valuable it is. Might be your third best asset in terms of the players you got now and everything else. Might be higher than that. We'll see. We know it's not above Ja, but maybe right behind Ja and Jaren in terms of what you've got around the rest of those guys. It could be that important. Point being, you took a step back to get that. And you traded away a certainty in what Desmond Bane was. Now, you had a ceiling on that. You had to do it. We understood why. But you were absolutely about to take a step back. And listen, Sane and I talked this through a couple of Fridays ago. He believes they're going to be, he's much higher on them. And it could pan out that way. And I told him if it does, I'm going to call him the prophet. I think, though, for folks that are thinking, again, hey, top six, don't have to worry about playing. It's going to be a reckoning because Isolo's system's going to have to work really well, number one, and then you are banking on Ja Morant to play more than he has on average for his whole career, which is 50-51 games, right? You need him 65-plus. And, oh, by the way, Zach Edey needs to be out there because who knows if what you've got behind him is enough to replicate the system that Edey wants to run offensively that uses Zach to create the big screens. It's the big guy next to Jaren that we've gotten used to. That's what Edey wants to do. If you don't have Zach Edey or if he can't hold up, boy, it gets really thin. So back to the point. 10th is realistic. That's what we've been talking about around here for a while. Some folks, you know, seem to agree. I'm surprised, though, by the number that still sort of are going into this. Oh, man, we're good, you know, sort of like we've been, like you could bank on. Like you figured in some of these seasons, top five, top six, maybe even, you know, top four, which you were top two before the wheels came off last year. I mean, that's what we've gotten used to around here. Those days have changed.
Yeah, they have.
At least for now.
Right.
I think what you're doing, where you started, if you're Zach Kleiman, yes, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you've taken a step back. Yes. You've acquired an asset that after you look and see what you've got, you're trying to rebuild this around Ja and Jaren.
Right.
You're going to see what you got in Cedric Coward. You kind of know with Jalen Wells, right? You don't have big plans for KCP in terms of the future. This is all about these young guys and that pick. And if you decide this year, this doesn't look good, we can't build, then you've got some flexibility to make an even bigger move and go down a different road. You've taken a step back to try to determine the road you want to go down.
Right.
That's a completely different position than you've been the previous years where you thought you had the core
right
to go compete.
Right.
This is completely different in terms of the way the front office is approaching this and the way we should be as both fans and media is with lowered expectations.
Yeah.
Folks gonna be angry around here if they're expecting 50 something wins and battling for a top two, top three seed.
Well, yeah.
Top four seed.
I think that's slowly kind of being beaten out of you, I think, at this point. With every, you know, Vegas line, with every, you know, article that comes out from National, like the bar has been lowered. There's no doubt about it.
I like some of the flexibility they now have in the fact that you're going to have those two, your own first round pick, which could be good, by the way, could be your lottery pick, and then Phoenix's pick. Like you've got some and you're off that Bane money. You've got some flexibility now to go out and make a larger move should you decide that's the path that you need to go down. That's the one thing that I could say, okay, in trading Bane, you've got, right, some options perhaps. But this right here is currently constructed. This doesn't get you in a top four or top six as far as I'm concerned. This gets you 10 and in the back of a plan.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, we'll see how palatable that is for Grizz fans, but it does kind of seem like that's the year that this is headed for. This will not fix attendance.
Well, it's hard to have. I've compared that, too, because, again, I know it's a Nike campaign, and Ja, you can say, well, he's talking about the shoe, but Ja said 2025 is going to be a takeoff year. You don't take off at 42-40. You know, that shoe doesn't go the berserk the way you want it to if you're on a team that's on a play-in. You know, you can't run all the Nike commercials that you want to. You want that team to be as good as it can be. If you're Ja Morant and you're looking at this from a marketing standpoint, hey, I'm going deep in the playoffs, I got runs, we're putting the shoes up. You know, and not to mention, if he's talking about takeoff year for his career, which it certainly seemed like he was saying as well in terms of this campaign, how do you do that on a team that's taking a step back? How long is Ja cool? Brad and I have talked about it late. He's going to have to be patient. Because they got plenty to get worked out. And that's, you know, and you still might, if some of these young guys don't, you know, come to fruition very quickly, have a lot left to work out. How long is Ja going to be patient?
Yeah, it's a good question. But that's up. I mean, I guess we could go through the rest of it. Like, OKC number one, Houston number two, Denver number three, Timberwolves number four, Clippers five, Lakers six.
I mean, I would just look at that Denver team with what they've added from a depth standpoint and how they took OKC to 7 with no depth last year as a team. I want to say I like them better than the Rockets, that I'd put them up to that 2 spot. Hard to do that when you've added KD to what they've got, and I love Ime's system. I love what they've moved out Jalen Green, who was not ready. But Denver's the team, if I'm OKC, and you certainly should, you're not taking that. That's the one to me. If I'm looking at this, I'm saying that's my dark horse.
Yep.
Who's not going to pick OKC?
Exactly.
But Denver's the one.
I agree.
If I'm going some other team.
But it's hard not to buy the Rockets with what they've done too. You know, I mean, we'll see.
KD has to hold up. KD has to hold up.
Yeah. And you know, he has for the most part, right?
Back from this injury and been amazing.
Yeah.
But he's not getting any younger.
Right.
And they'll be careful with him, but we've seen stretches where he's gone 2-4 weeks, you know, and that could affect seeding. We'll see. They could get a tougher road. We'll see. But yeah. I believe in the Rockets. I like Denver better with what they've added from depth. They've finally given, you know, Jokic some depth.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing is Durant's played 75 games more recently than Ja.
Ja's averaged 51 games for his career, bro. He hadn't played more than 65 since his rookie season.
Different way, you know, but still. I mean,
it has to be more. I mean, there's as much pressure to me on Ja individually as there is on Zach Kleiman because, mm-hmm. you know, they moved on from Desmond Bane. We could say Ja and Jaren, it's being built around you. And so if you're not out there, if it's just going to be 50-51 games, it can't be done. That's the issue. So all the pressure's on him to be out there, whether that calls for changing your game, whatever it is, it's got to be done. Taking better care of the body. Bigger weights, whatever. He knows all that. He's heard all this, but it's more mandatory than ever. You can't have a takeoff year unless you're out there 65 plus.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back. Dan Wilkins is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about college football and more. Stick around, Jason and John.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
FM ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And as promised, he is Dan Walken. He's got a new gig. He's now writing about college football and sports at large over Yahoo Sports, and he joins us now. Dan, what's happening, man? Congrats.
I appreciate it. Are you all right? Do we need to get you a little vaccine, or what's going on there?
A little vaccine, yeah, that'd be great. Just give me a mystery vaccine. I don't even care what's in it at this point. No, it's, you know how the Memphis weather is, man. It's like 95 degrees one week, and then the next week it's 70. You know, my immune system's hurting.
I got to say, this interview's already going the wrong way because I think it's in my contract now that when I appear on radio shows, you have to have the Yahoo yodel ready to go. I mean, maybe I have to do it. I've been practicing.
That's right. That's right. Do they still use that in like marketing? I loved it. Yeah. That's not bad, no, right?
Let me tell you, really, they sent me a box of like merch before my first day of work. And when you open up the box, it does the yodel.
That's awesome. See, now we're cooking. So this is your, you know, how long were you at USA Today?
Just a few days short of 13 years.
And what, not to, you know, get personal, but I'm just curious, you know, I mean, that seems like a great gig, you know, the national college football writer, and I'm sure you could have written about whatever you wanted. I mean, what made going to Yahoo the right decision for you?
Well, look, I think that I've always admired Yahoo Sports, and I've known a lot of the people who've worked there over the years, from, you know, Dan Wetzel, Jay Busby. I mean, you can just go on down the line. And obviously, that, you know, Woj was at Yahoo for many, many years, and I've known Woj since he was there way back in the day. So, you know, just great respect for the brand. They're, you know, doing a lot of cool things. They've got a lot of big plans on the horizon. You know, they contacted me to ask if I had an interest. And as I kind of went down the process with them, it was really a great opportunity. And, you know, 13 years is a long time and just a fresh start and maybe a little new energy when you're at a new place was very appealing. So, yeah, that's the story.
Well, congratulations.
Congrats, brother.
And we're certainly looking forward to reading your stuff. Which are you going to Ohio State, Texas? Like, is that your first assignment? Are you staying back? Like, what's the plan?
Yeah, so I'm not going to Ohio State, Texas. My colleague Ross Dellinger will be there. I will be at LSU Clemson on Saturday, and then I will go on Monday to Bill Belichick's first game when they play TCU. And then next week after that, I will fly to New York and cover the back end of the U.S. Open.
Got it. All right, so let's start there. I mean, I know I had you on, you know, a month ago, and we talked a little bit about Texas. But now that we're here, Texas certainly seen, and I understand. I mean, they're the number one team in the country. They're getting points. They're going up against a quarterback making his first start. Ohio State is still favored, and I think that's maybe the interesting part of this. Do you expect Ohio State to win?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I don't know what I expect. Both teams are going to have some interesting, I don't want to even say question marks, but just a little bit of a new identity with the change in quarterback. Obviously, Ohio State lost quite a few guys to the NFL. Texas has got kind of a new offensive line, so that's going to be an interesting factor. Being in Columbus, I think you just always default to favoring the home team a little bit when it's relatively even. But, you know, Texas might have a little more talent this year, but we'll see. Like, I wouldn't be surprised either way the game goes.
If, you know, a lot of the talk has been about Arch Manning, where he's going to stack up. My partner's awfully high on him and on Texas. I think John's got, you know, Texas to win the national championship. You got Arch for the Heisman?
Yeah.
Thought so.
There's some contenders in there.
Is he going to be the best quarterback in the country when it's all said and done and have lived up to this billing and this hype? Or is it going to be that guy that you're going to see, Cabe Klubnik, Nussmeier, somebody else at LSU? Who would you go with just in terms of best quarterback by the time this thing's over?
It's very hard for me to say that it's going to be Arch Manning when we've just never seen him play a meaningful snap outside of the short yardage special situations where they would put him in the last couple years. He's never played a full game under that kind of pressure against a quality opponent. So it's hard for me to project him to be the best quarterback in the country just based on all those unknowns. You know, certainly you look at the end of last year, the way Klubnik developed, certainly got to give him a huge chance of being there. But how about Lenora Sellers at South Carolina? Mm. I mean, yep. And just in terms of
freshman year,
you know, true talent, physical skills, I thought was really good last year. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's him.
What about chances that Carson Beck at least bounces back? Maybe not top guy, but we were talking about him this time last year going out and having a monster season, being an NFL draft pick. What are the chances he bounces back up the stocks down at Miami? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance. He certainly wasn't healthy all the way through last year at Georgia. If he is physically 100%, they certainly can do that. We saw what their quarterback did last year, Cam Ward, who was fantastic. So it's obviously a system, and they're going to have good players at all the key positions. They've recruited as well as anybody in the ACC. So, yeah, like, he could slide in there and be really, really good. And it does feel like people have kind of forgotten about him just because Georgia wasn't quite the dominant team we thought. He wasn't quite as good last year. Maybe he, you know, didn't quite handle the pressure of it all. But maybe this year just changing scenery is good for him. A lot of interesting questions there. And I do think Miami is going to be as good as anybody in the ACC. I think I picked them to win the league. So wouldn't surprise me if he's a big part of that.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, coaches get these reputations. I mean, Ryan Day had the label of, like, he can't be Michigan, but not only couldn't be Michigan, but he can't win a championship. He can't win, quote unquote, the big one. And then he does it, and now he can win the big one. And I just, you know, you can't until you can. And I just wonder, you know, if you see that maybe happening for a guy like James Franklin, because there's no doubt. I mean, Big Game James is his nickname, ironically, and he's got that label now, and he's one of few coaches that's bringing back, you know, his starting quarterback and a lot of, you know, the pieces from last year in a deep playoff run. Can he shed that label? Is he in position to shed that label this year, you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to this year. This is the team, maybe the best team he's ever going to have at Penn State, at least on paper. I do think it's a little bit different with Ryan Day because that was mostly just about the Michigan game more than anything. They were so good, you know, a couple years ago. They had Georgia beat, and it comes down to a field goal. They would have won the national championship that year as well. I didn't put that on Ryan Day as much as I think it's fair at this point to put it on James Franklin, because when you look at the record against, you know, true top 10 elite opposition, it's really bad. And, you know, that's not to say that they can't do it. Obviously they can, and it only takes one year where everything comes together to change the narrative, I guess. But I think the question marks about the coaching, the game management, are far more relevant to Penn State based on what we've seen over a much longer sample size than they had been with Ryan Day before last year.
Where we at on Brian Kelly, Dan, and how much pressure is he facing? Obviously, they've got to win a season opener. That's not all on him, but they haven't won one since Burrow to start the year. How much pressure is on Brian Kelly to win big at LSU?
Yeah, and, you know, I've got something probably coming out maybe tomorrow or Friday on LSU. And, you know, I think that it's been, you know, a little bit disappointing overall because obviously the defense has been bad, and that's been something that he's not been able to get right, and they've cycled through the staff a little bit. I mean, we'll see Blake Baker, what he can do there now. But I think there was also maybe a little bit of arrogance in terms of when the NIL stuff started. LSU maybe thought that because they were LSU, because, you know, they had the tradition of getting, you know, so many of the top in-state players, that was going to continue, and it really didn't matter as much with NIL. And I think they learned very quickly that, no, people are just going where the money is. And if you're not offering the most money, you're not going to get a hometown discount, or you're not going to get a special break because kids always wanted to play for LSU. So I think it took a little bit of time for them to adjust to that. This year, obviously, you know, you can't be where they were last year. Last year was not good. That was not LSU standard. And if it's another year like that, he's definitely going to be in a lot of trouble, even knowing it would cost a ton to fire him. But a lot of pressure. They got to win an opener. Not easy when you have to play at Clemson. We'll know very quickly what the temperature is in Baton Rouge on, you know, Saturday night at about 11:30 p.m.
Well, and kind of keeping with that theme, you know, it kind of feels similar to the situation in Tallahassee with Mike Norvell. I mean, granted, DJU just looks like, I mean, I watched him over the weekend in preseason. He still made some of the most mind-boggling throws you will ever see. Just literally threw it right to a linebacker in San Francisco last weekend. So he hasn't changed. But it is a new quarterback in Castellanos for Norvell. Once upon a time, I mean, it looked like this was really trending in the right direction. Speaking of temperature, what is that temperature for him in Tallahassee?
Well, they're a classic example of the upside and the downside of going all in on the portal. And obviously it really worked out well for them in 2023. And it's incredibly unfortunate that Jordan Travis broke his leg in the second to last game. And that's the reason they didn't get into the playoff, because they should have and otherwise would have been there. Who knows? Maybe they could have even won the championship. I mean, we'll never know. But last year, they just made a lot of bad choices. Personnel-wise, no question about it. And it didn't just go bad in sort of the normal way it goes bad for top programs. I mean, it went all the way down to the ashes. And so I don't know. Like, they have Alabama right away. It's going to be a great test for them. They're at home. I think Mike certainly would be well served to have a big bounce back year. But on the other hand, I think it's like 70-something million to fire him, and is Florida State really prepared to do that, even if this year's another bad year? That's definitely going to be one of the interesting questions looming over this whole thing.
You know, there's a time, and nobody knows it better than you, where, and maybe it's still the case, but I think Ed Scott's sort of letting us know it needs to change, where you know, Memphis basketball is the front porch, it's everything, it stirs, you know, it's the straw that stirs the drink. We've talked about it, though, and I think Ed Scott came out recently, had a quote along the lines, I don't have it in front of me, Dan, that was, okay, basketball pays the bills, but football's the future. And we've seen clearly an investment level now in football, in a building that you now control, by the way, with Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, an investment where it looks like there's a shift, Dan, something that a lot of folks around here have fought for a long time. What do you think? If that indeed turns out to be the case, and we know, you know, they've upped the deal with FedEx, a lot of the previous NIL deal they had with them, you know, a lot of that money we'd heard is going to football more so than basketball. I'm not saying going all in and you're dropping basketball by the wayside, but what do you think, Dan, of a shift for Memphis football, which, you know, obviously folks feel like football helps drive realignment. And I read you. Everybody's hoping and expecting around here for the big shakeup in 2030 at this point after what the Big 12 just did to you. Where are you on a possible shift in the Memphis Athletic Department?
Well, I mean, I got to say, I don't really understand what he means when he says that. I mean, look, Memphis football is good. And Memphis football is not the reason why they have been passed over in realignment. The Memphis football program, I mean, obviously you want to keep investing in what they're doing to the stadium and the facilities, like all that stuff matters, but football's not the reason why they didn't get chosen to go into the Big 12. So I just don't understand, like, what does that look like? Okay, you say Memphis football, you can make it as absolute good as it can possibly be. What does that look like? What does that mean? And I don't really have a great answer for that beyond, generally speaking, kind of where they are now. Like, they're one of the best teams in the group of five, or group of six, I guess you could say, with the Pac-12 coming back. They're one of the best teams, and they've been one of the best teams for a long time. Doesn't mean they're going to get that playoff spot every year, but they're going to be in contention for it most of the time. You go to the ACC, you go to the Big 12, I don't really know what would change. You're not going to win a national championship. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, talk down to Memphis football. I would say that about like 90 out of the 95 or 100 out of the 125 teams in Division I. Like, Iowa State is not going to win a national championship. It doesn't matter what Iowa State does, or how good they are. They're not winning a national title. I guess I just don't really quite understand what he's talking about. I mean, I think you can win a national title in men's basketball. So I don't know, like, what does that look like in terms of changing the athletic department? I don't quite get it.
Well, can you? I actually think there. I can actually make the case that the setup for Memphis football in the playoff is better in the AAC, right? Like, you go to a crowded Big 12, it's going to be harder to beat those teams. Like, all you have to do is kind of be the best of the rest to get a slot now, and maybe it expands and they have two. And, you know, so I think for football, which, again, that's what complicates all of it, Dan, because from a football standpoint, I think you could say it's fine. But, like, you know, you said you can win a national championship in basketball. You're bleeding attendance, right? I mean, we've talked about this. You're bleeding attendance, and you're losing sort of favor with your fan base, because from January to, you know, to March, everybody just checks out. So how do you fix that, you know, while you're trying to balance football and its situation and it driving the bus as well? I mean, that's kind of where it is.
I mean, you fix it by putting basketball in a different conference. And I'm not, you know, wishing for that or whatever, but obviously,
I'm wishing for it.
Well, yeah, Big East ain't picking up, though, Dan. We'd love that.
This is common sense that Memphis fans are not going to have a great interest in watching the slate of opponents that the American Athletic Conference is going to regularly provide. We know that. And it doesn't really matter how good the team is. And the team's fine. Like, the team's been okay. They've been pretty good. But yeah, like, it just sort of feels a little bit beneath them to play in that league. And I don't think you're going to start filling those seats unless you're in either the Big East or a power conference. And I do think it's something they should consider seriously if the Big East would have them, because that will turn around the attendance issue. That will turn around, you know, some of the buzz when you've got Marquette coming in, or when you've got Georgetown coming in. Those are brand name programs. And, you know, I'm sorry. Like, you can say all you want. Oh, the fans should go and cheer for us. And in a perfect world, that's true. I mean, that was what Calipari would always say. But part of that is who your opponents are. It just is. And so, yeah, there's nobody in that American Athletic Conference who excites the fan base. And I don't particularly blame them for that.
I don't know that, you have such an interesting respect, because you worked here, you covered Memphis basketball when Memphis football was literally dying on the vine, and maybe it was going to be shut down after another bad year. So I think, you know, from your standpoint and where you are today and where you've come from, you look at Memphis football winning 9, 10, 11 games, and it's like, holy hell, that thing was like prone in ICU. The idea that it could ever do this consistently, on some level, I agree with that. But Ryan Silverfield has never played in an AAC championship game. Like, he's never, you know, he took over a program that was kind of at its peak, and ever since then, you know, has not gotten it back. So how do you handle that, right? Like, when he's not bad, he hasn't done a bad job, but he hasn't done as good of a job, you know, as maybe the previous two coaches that were here. So how do you sort of work through that with Silverfield winning lots of games, but, you know, not the right ones, it feels like?
Well, okay.
He hasn't won the right
21
ones.
21-5 the last 2 years. 21-5. Like, what do you want?
A conference title game, Dan. He has not made one.
That's
in group of five, he's armed essentially now with the most resources, right there with Boise State, more than Tulane and everything else, and you're not getting a conference even title game appearance out of him. So to John's point, 2019, man, you're winning conference championships. You had game day here for one of the most electric, you know, sports experiences we've ever seen in Memphis when game day was here down on Beale Street. And from that standpoint, sure, the regular season wins 21 last 2 years look good, but you've taken a step back in terms of not being able to compete, at least for conference titles in an AAC you long should have been at the top of. You were picked one last year. You finished fourth.
I get it, but what, they lost their two conference games? I mean, they were both kind of like one-possession games, right?
Yeah, they were 9.5-point favorites against Navy, lose outright. They were 7.5-point favorites against UTSA, outright.
The problem is, Dan, to a UTSA team that has far less in terms of investment, that week Traylor was talking about how much more Memphis football had than him. And so you can't lose that game when you're picked number one in the preseason in the conference.
I get it. I really do. But they, you know, they finished the year last year in the top 25. Like, I think things are relatively fine. Like, they're relatively okay. I get what the complaint is. I understand you're grading on a curve because of the opponents they play.
Yep.
I get all that, but I think most people, including me, are kind of looking at a lot of the complaints about Silverfield and, you know, just maybe a little bit like guys, like,
yeah, chill.
Understood. It's really just holding Memphis football now to at least the same standard, especially in this AAC, that you do Memphis basketball. And in the case of Memphis football, in doing that, if you're winning your conference, at least get a conference. But if you're winning it, you're in that discussion. And no, Dan, it's not about winning a national championship. Memphis will never do that. But just being in the CFP and the buzz that will create, you got what's going to be a, you know, 40,000 seat new, you know, not new, but newly renovated stadium that you control.
Well,
those that, you know, that revenue is yours now in a way that it hasn't been before. And so it feels like there's more ceiling there, even though I'm with you. Look, I covered it too. You feel like, yeah, national championship, Memphis basketball, do that. Football will never do it. But it goes deeper, much deeper than that.
Well, let's circle back on this later in the year because, you know, ultimately, I look at their schedule. Their four conference road games are Florida Atlantic, UAB, who has probably the worst coach in the country.
No doubt.
At Rice and at East Carolina. So, like, you know, I'm not going to say, like, they are going to go undefeated in the American, but I don't look at any game on their schedule and am like, well, that's probably a loss. So, you know, if they're 11-1, 12-0, you know, you got to tip your cap.
100%. I'll shut the hell up. Believe
beaten,
me, I want to shut up.
Like, beating Arkansas, and you're in the conference championship game with that record.
I've said, like, if they just make the title game, like, I'll shut my mouth. Like, you know, I can't just say go win it every single year. Just make, you know, if they make it, I'll shut up. But they haven't done it yet, so it's not a great position to put you in. I'm not trying to put, you know, you're not the defender of all things Memphis football. You're like, hey, they lost five games the last 2 years. What are we talking about? But I just think, yeah there are, you know, there are you know, higher expectations there. Anyway, Dan, man, this was great. We will absolutely circle back midway through the season.
Congratulations, dude.
Congrats on the gig, and thank you for the time today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Here's Dan Wilkin, covers college football for Yahoo Sports. And I think that's, you know, that is a little bit of, because, like, from his perspective, which is he's not here every day, right? He's looking at Memphis football aerially. And it's like, what is wrong with you guys? What are you talking about?
Right.
I
completely understand where he's looking at it.
Exactly.
And believing that, look, Memphis every year is in the running for one of the best teams in the group of five and right there at the top of the conference. And that, you know, 21 wins the last 2 years, that looks like success. Bowl wins over Power Four teams looks like success. And it is success in a lot of ways. It's not successful enough with the level of investment.
Yeah. So anyway, man, thanks to Dan Wilkin for joining us on the show today, talking all things Memphis football and more. We'll come back. Lots more to come on the show. Got college football, got NFL news, cuts got made. We got, you know, up and coming coaches lists, right? Like, who's the next around the country?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it, a ranking of, like, the hot young coach, or is it like just general, like, around the country?
The ones that will be the coaches that will be talked about in next year's coaching carousel.
Oh, okay, got it.
Both group of five,
right.
Power four,
right.
Head coaches, assistants as
okay.
well from group of five.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's the list.
I'm excited to
from
see where, you know, Memphis league. Ranks in this. all right, we'll come back. Stick around. Jason and John, are you trying to FM ESPN?
And Sports Talk with Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.